The Home Show with Sinead Ryan on News Talk.
Hello and welcome to the Home Show podcast with me, Sinead Ryan. This is News Talk's programme about homes, housing, interiors and architecture. Coming up today, singer, songwriter and survivor Brian Kennedy on selling his period Dublin home. We'll be heading to Bordbia Bloom to find out what's on for the rest of the weekend, and one of their celebrity chefs will be joining me in studio. And housewife of Drumcondra himself, Paul Kinsella, will be in on this year's must-have summer trend, and that's an outdoor kitchen. But don't worry, it's easier than you think. If you'd like to get involved in the pod with us and get in touch with us, you can email us at thehomeshow@newstalk.com. You can find me on Instagram at SineadRyan100. And of course, you can listen on the radio on the wireless at 5 p.m. on a Saturday. Now, we do love a poke around someone else's house when they're selling up, and even more so when they're famous. Singer, songwriter and for a while dancer, Brian Kennedy has just put his palatial period home in Dublin up for sale, and he joins me now to peek inside the curtains. You're very welcome to the show, Brian. Tell us a little bit about 519 yeah. South Circular Road.
Well, I bought it 21 years ago. Can you believe that? I was living in London, living in New York. I had a little place in the west of Ireland in Killaloe, right, as a little sort of bolt hole. And then I thought, you know what? I really need to be in Dublin a lot more. And I obviously kind of really exhausted all of my friends' sofas and everything and all of that. And so they were like, would you not just get a place of your own? So I managed to sell Killaloe, which obviously even then in 2005 helped me buy what became my home for the last 21 years. So yeah, I love Kilmaino. It was a really interesting mix of very old Kilmaino style Dublin, very near Emma, very near the jail, obviously. And then very lovely parts of Rialto and the Lewis. I mean, even the Lewis wasn't here when I moved in here first. That's how long I've been here. So now it's very well accessed. And I love the area. It's so near, just close enough to town, just far away enough.
It's a beautiful house and you've obviously been happy there. Why are you leaving?
Well, it's time to downsize, truthfully.
Brian, we have to call it. That's the woke term.
Tell me what it is.
Right-sizing.
Okay, so it's time to right-size as opposed to wrong-size because, you know, for ages I used to rent out the upper floors to friends and then friends of friends. And more recently, doctors and nurses over in James's Hospital. Mm. And I thought to myself, oh, look, you know, at least I'm trying to help with the kind of housing crisis a little bit and all of that. But as we know also, the things that also prompted it was that, you know, the law has changed. So if somebody moves in now, they can stay for 6 years. And that's great. That's lovely. That would have suited me 15 years ago, but it doesn't suit me now. And also, I'm turning 60 in October, can you believe? So I thought, you know what? This is a really good time to just think about my next move.
Right. Now, since you moved in, have you done any work to it? You added on bits and pieces. And I know this is period properties are kind of difficult to work with for lots and lots of reasons, but you did add to it.
Well, the thing about especially Edwardian properties is they got it right the first time.
Yeah.
You know, 1902 is when they built it. I believe some of the houses were lived in by sort of Guinness management people and so on. So they really got it right first time around. So all I really did was just make it more beautiful, you know, make it my style. As you say, just kind of upgrade bathrooms and things. But, you know, there were no walls knocked down or anything like that. Thank goodness. I mean, that would have been a nightmare. So, yeah, the great thing about these houses is they're not making them anymore. And like I say, they made them properly the first time around. So really, you just bring your own style to it. And one of my passions outside of singing and writing is decor, is really, I'd love a project. Like I'd love to do up a room or a kitchen or something, you know, and that's where you really end up spending the money, either in bathrooms or kitchens.
Now, we've been running a series on The Home Show over the last number of weeks where I've been dragging in my News Talk colleague presenters and asking them, are they any good at DIY? I'll be honest now, I wouldn't be visiting some of their houses after what we heard, but you love all that. And actually,
I love all that. No, I'm very lucky. I have a great team of builders. There's a lovely Romanian man called Sorin, who's been my kind of head builder for a long time. He's incredible. So what I'd say is I'd say, listen, can I do this? Can I do that? And he'll say, yes or no. It calls me, he's like, Brian, you're very fussy. You're very fussy. Meaning fussy, I presume.
We knew that.
Quite right about
we
that.
Knew
yes.
that. We knew that.
He's quite
now,
right.
We've had a look in the house because we went online just have a peek through it, and it is beautiful. But I was struck by the amount of colour that you have. So this is obviously very, no neutral beiges for you.
Well, no, because, you know, back in the day in London in the 80s, sure, it was all about white and, you know, minimalist vibe and all that kind of thing. But I actually love colour. I really love it. And I think you shouldn't be afraid to use colour, especially with furniture, especially with wall colour. I'm obsessed with that green colour on the walls. Mm. And then it gives you license to have like red velvet, blue velvet, purple velvet furniture, things like that. I don't know. I love a bit of colour in life, you know, because it wasn't that long ago when our lives were very black and white, you know, living on the Falls Road in West Belfast. My dream as a little working class boy was, you know, oh, if only I could have my big lovely house. And now I'm nearly 60. I'm like, if only I had a smaller house, that would be good.
We're never happy. Interesting. Never. How does this house differ from the one you grew up in Belfast?
Are you kidding me? I mean, I could have put all of the first house I ever grew up in one of the rooms. Do you know what I mean? Like, there were eight of us in a 2-wee-bedroom terraced house. Probably, funnily enough, something I'm probably going to move back to if I'm lucky enough to find something suitable. But, I mean, very, very, very different. So I think when you grow up in a kind of cramped situation, the fantasy is, oh, I'm going to have these big, tall rooms. And I had pure notions even then, you know, like as a little kid wandering around going, imagine having a chandelier. I mean, is this not the gayest thing you've ever heard? I had to get chandelier cleaners in before we did the photo. Crafts.
Chandelier. Well, you've come up in the world now. There's no doubt. There probably weren't chandeliers in your two up, two down in Belfast.
No. I call them ceiling jewellery. You know, it's like big earrings hanging from the ceiling.
Indeed. Right. And of course, whenever I hear that term, chandelier, I'm thinking of that episode of Only Fools and Horses where Del Boy plunks.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Chandelier.
Well, thank God that never happened.
Never happened to you. Tell us a little bit about the house now, because you mentioned that it's 1902. It would have been that kind of mid-terrace red brick, but upper middle class kind of class,
exactly.
For what it was in those days. It's over three stories. So how have you chosen to partition it?
Well, I literally did nothing in that sense. The attic bedroom was always what it was. There's a little bathroom up there now, and which is even better because that's probably the most private part of the house, right at the top. It's certainly the most quiet place you can go to. I mean, I've probably lived and slept in all of the rooms over the years, over the 21 years. And so I just wanted each room to have its own kind of identity. I mean, the first floor bedroom is a little kind of return, a beautiful room that looks over the back garden, and we took the ceiling down in there and put up a mezzanine bed. So that's a really cool little space, you know, for a moody teenager or indeed a moody nearly 60-year-old like myself. And then as the return goes around, there's two beautiful bedrooms. The one on the front is basically apes the living room. So it is enormous with a beautiful fireplace and, you know, a mirror over the mantle and all of that. So the proportions, you know, they did not hold back the Edwardians. You know, they loved loads of light, loads of candles, loads of things like that. So I think it's a very romantic kind of a building. And so I kept it relatively simple. I stripped the floorboards back. I got some beautiful rugs in from the Middle East and things like that over the years. So like I say, it's taken a long time to get it just to where I want it, and I'm going to sell it.
Indeed. And come here, are you staying in Dublin? Do you need a home in Dublin? And do you want to stay in the area?
Well, I wouldn't mind, you know, but part of the reason that I'm kind of on the move as well is that I want to move away from, you know, the last 10 years, as people may or may not know who are listening, I had a very unkind time with my health and things like that. So I needed to be very close to the hospital. So I think psychologically I'm thinking, be nice not to be so close to the hospital, maybe, just because, you know, I've moved on from that part of my life. But I mean, I love Dublin 8, or as they say, Dublin 8, is a big, you know, load of wind off the end of the end of that. I think that I'm doing something really funny, which is I'm just going to sell the house and see what's what. I haven't got anywhere else to go. I've got a few friends I can stay with, maybe. And then I also said to my estate agent, the lovely Mary Dornan at DNG, I just said to her, listen, I want something much smaller, something much more easy to look after. Mm. And I travel as much as I ever did. So I want something to lock up that's very easy. But there's something about Dublin 8 that I really love. I don't know what it is, you know, and I really really don't know what it is, but it's so easy, accessible. The area has come up leaps and bounds in the last 20 years. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, never say never. I also said to her, Mary, look, if there's a wild card, do you think I should see like a weird little cottage somewhere or an amazing period apartment overlooking a little park? Then let me know. You know, I'm open-minded to it.
Now, you mentioned there your health, and it has been 10 years since your initial cancer diagnosis and five, that's right. A major heart attack, quadruple
bypass.
I mean, how are you doing? Do you feel jinxed or incredibly lucky, Brian?
Well, incredibly lucky. And also, I do feel like this house has been incredibly good to me because I recovered here. Mm. You know, I was able to walk up all the stairs again and I got my health back again. And in fact, when I did the first episode of Dancing with the Stars, I had to get a health check and a stress test from St. James's Hospital from cardiology. And so my lovely surgeon, Sarah Early, called me the next morning. And like a schoolboy, I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. You know, I've done something wrong when I saw her number coming up. And she goes, Brian, I just have to say, congratulations. She goes, you had a massive heart attack. And she goes, I turn on the TV and there you are spinning around with the Viennese waltz with a lovely man called James. She goes, it's an incredible achievement. And then she goes, look, I've looked at your recent scans and everything. And she goes, you've made basically a complete recovery. So it is amazing what you can do. I mean, I have to say one of the saviors of my life was that I was able to walk from my front door here in Kilmainham to A&E in a less than 15 minutes. And that's one of the things that saved my life. When you catch a heart attack in time, even though I didn't know it was a heart attack, I thought it was something, you know, something else. But so, yeah, I've so much to thank this house for, really. Yeah. And especially somebody like Sarah Early. And of course, the whole cardiology team, they're amazing. And when I said to them I was going to do Dancing with the Stars, they were like, what? What are you talking about? You know, but I suppose I just said, look, I'm going to give it a shot. If I don't feel well, of course, I'll tell everybody. But no, I was great.
And has it reframed your purpose? Sometimes when people get a serious illness, they come out of that thinking, I want to dump all the bits of my life that was dragging me down or the negativity and I want to do something different. Did you just attack your old life with a new purpose?
I think so. I think I gave it a dusting off. I gave it a good shine and thought to myself, look at all the pros that you have in your life at this point. You know, as a 60-year-old nearly singer-performer, my 20th album is coming out in October. I've got a big Vicar Street show on November 12th to celebrate my 60th birthday and the 30th anniversary of A Better Man. And, you know, there's the title right there, A Better Man. I am better than I've ever been.
Yeah, and you sound it. You really do. Now, you have the same roundy birthday coming up that I do, so I'm looking for tips.
Very
now,
good.
I won't be given any concerts anywhere. The public
Why
can
not?
Rest assured. I might be going to concerts, but I won't be singing at them. So your plan is to work. Is that it? Or does this
That's
just,
right.
you just love this so much, that's how you want to spend your birthday?
Yeah, my 50th was also Vicar Street and I'd just been diagnosed with cancer. So to think that 10 years later, I'm going to sell the big house, I'm going to make these big moves, and I'm also going to go, hey, I made it to 60, my album Better Man made it to 30, and I've got a lot to be very, very, very thankful for, particularly my friends. And my only advice to you is get some margaritas down your neck. And I'm telling you, you'll be doing a concert somewhere. It might not be Vicar Street.
That is not the worst advice, to be honest with you. Come here, the podcast with Catherine Lynch.
Yes. Right,
Around the World in 80 Gays. I mean, apart from the best title ever. Talk to me about the fun that must be.
Oh, my God. We just thought to ourselves, who will we call? We'll just call up all of our friends. And we literally had, like, you know, Mr. Pussy, who's in his middle to late 80s, even though, you know, he'll kill us if we tell anybody that. And then we just wanted to look at the arc of gay life in Ireland then to what it is now. Because, of course, you know, it's an incredible achievement what's happening. We've still got work to do, of course, but we also wanted to make it fun, you know, and we were right in the middle of all kinds of changes going on, you know, with the trans community and all kinds of things that were going on. We just wanted to be around and talk about it and pose questions and really intently listen to the answers, you know, and say, well, where are gay people at now? Mm. And, of course, how it stretches around the world. And look how much Ireland has changed. You know, to be a gay person when I grew up on the Falls Road was a deeply dangerous and shameful thing to be.
Yeah.
And now look at it, for goodness sake. People are celebrating life, they're getting on with it. And I just felt really proud to be part of the arc of change in terms of what's happening publicly for gay people.
Indeed. And it's that normalisation. It's when you're not talking about it and you're not discussing it and it's not the most interesting thing about somebody. That it kind of knits then into, you know, you maybe hopefully we've reached the stage where it's just so unremarkable that that we can just get on with the rest of the stuff that people are.
I mean, I nearly want to apologise at this point and say, I'm so sorry, I'm only gay. How boring. You know, I'm so sorry, I'm so boring. And because it kind of, as you say, it is an interesting part of somebody's, you know, personality and so on. But it's not the most interesting thing about me. I mean, certainly it's more interesting to think about how do you get from the Falls Road to Broadway and be a singer against all of the odds. I think that's more interesting. But at the same time, authentically, and we see all kinds of people in the news and out of the news and all of that stuff where you think it's really important to live your authentic life as soon as you can.
Indeed. And you are living it, no doubt, to the fullest because of everything that you're doing. You want to just briefly mention something you've on this weekend. No downtime on the bank holiday for you.
Yes, I'm in the Source Arts Centre in Thurles. Now, the great thing about Thurles is that's where Boy George's people are from. And as you know, I've done a duet with Boy George. So yes, indeed. So I'm going to be there this Saturday night. Can't wait to sing for you all. No, I mean, if anything, I want to sing more than ever, gig more than ever. I really love it.
That's fantastic. Well, listen, the very best of luck. And listen, have a ball on the 60th and the best of luck with finding the new home. You have a year of change ahead of you for sure and not for the first time. Brian Kennedy, thank you so much for joining us on The Home Show.
The Home Show on News Talk. The Home Show on News Talk.
Welcome back to The Home Show with me, Sinead Ryan, here on News Talk. Now, if you are just joining us, you might have missed Brian Kennedy, fantastic songwriter, singer, sometime dancer on the show, and he's selling his period pile in Dublin. So we were hearing all about that and you must listen back to that. A super interview and really enjoyed talking to him. And that you can find on our podcast, also called The Home Show, which you'll find on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your pods. It is 53106 if you want to get in touch now by text or thehomeshow@newstalk.com. Now, Bord Be A Bloom is back in the Phoenix Park as we speak and runs until Monday. It's celebrating its 20th anniversary, so it's extra special this year. Joining me now are two guests from Bloom, Eva Pau, who is TV celebrity chef with Asian Kitchen, and on the line, Carol Marks, horticulture sector manager with Bord Bia and RT1's Super Garden judge. You're both very welcome, ladies. Carol, now you're a well-known judge on Super Garden. Have you been involved with the garden yourself this year?
Yes, I have, Sinead, and it's lovely to be talking to you. We're here at Bloom and we have a very special garden. Well, all the gardens are special, but this year to celebrate 20 years of Bloom, we have commissioned a celebrity dream garden to add to the Easy Steps to Dream Garden suite. And that's a suite of gardens that we commissioned in 2021 when we did virtual Bloom because of the pandemic. And seven Bloom award-winning designers designed seven different gardens, but all the same size, the average size of a new build back garden. And all of the garden plans, the planting plans and the plant list are available on the Bloom website. As I say, this year to celebrate 20 years, we decided we would do a celebrity dream garden, and it's designed by another award-winning Bloom garden designer, Declan McKenna.
Yes, indeed.
And in conjunction with Brendan Courtney.
Wow, stylish.
So it is, and you know, it was a dream working with Brendan. He was fantastic. And as a designer, he had very clear ideas of what he would like in his garden. But working with Declan, Declan came up with a design which Brendan absolutely loves, and we've created it here at Bloom so everybody can see it. And the plan, the garden plan and the planting plan and the plant list will all be available on the Bloom website so people can have a look, they can have a go, recreate it in their own garden at home.
Okay, well, you say that. You say recreate. Maybe elements, maybe bits and pieces, unless we have a star gardener in with us. But listen, it's all about inspiration, Carol, isn't it? It's about looking at something and saying, I could replicate that corner or that type of planting or this over here. And that's really what it's all about.
Absolutely. And that's very true, Sinead. But the beauty of the Dream Gardens is that there's lots of advice there. You can go to your garden centre and find the plants because they're all accessible in every garden centre around the country. And the planting plan shows you where to plant them. So people will have success. We found when we did some research during 2021 that people wanted to garden, but they didn't know what to do, where to plant stuff, where to put a patio, how to find the aspect of their garden. And sometimes failure puts you off. But we would hope that with this, people will have a go, they'll have success, and it'll encourage them to do more. And there is an option just to recreate a small section of it, because each of the designs has a focus border with the plan for the border. So even if you don't do the whole garden, you can do a little piece of it.
A microcosm. Now, yes. I'm just thinking, Carol, the weather that we had during the week, which was stunning, really, in Dublin, but pretty much everywhere, that must have made planning much more difficult in terms of keeping the plants and the gardens hydrated. Was that an extra challenge this year?
To be honest with you, I think most of the designers and anybody with plants at Bloom, they're very used to all different types of weathers. So they're prepared for it. Mm. And they would have arrived from the nurseries on site well watered. Mm. And yes, the designers did have to water a lot more than they might do normally. But, you know, the weather, when you're gardening, the weather is always a challenge, sure, whether it's raining. And we've had Bloom, you know, preparations and planning and build where it was raining for most of the time. So there is always a challenge. And the great thing about our industry is they always rise to a challenge.
Indeed. Swings and roundabouts. Now, one of the features that I love at Bloom that is featuring this year is the balcony garden. People are living in smaller spaces and urban apartments. So that's an interesting sector of the market, isn't it? Trying to make a tiny space bloom.
Yes, it is. And, you know, that's one of the reasons we implemented these balcony gardens, is to show people that no matter what size of a space you have, you can always grow something. And it's amazing what the balcony garden designers have done. They are incredible. And they're just beautiful little spaces with lots of plants, somewhere to sit, and it really gives people, visitors, something to take home and recreate at home, because so many people are, as you say, living in apartments now.
Yes, exactly. And it can be hard just to navigate that space, have a little outdoor place to sit, but also have plants that are going to be suitable for that and aren't in earth. They're in pots more than anything. So it gives you good kind of inspiration on that. And of course, there's everything else there at Bloom. It really is a day out now. It's not so much, it's not all about the gardening either. What are you most looking forward to? What are you seeing there now that you like the most, Carol?
Well, what I love at the moment is the inspiration from the gardens. There's lovely colour, and the colour schemes this year, there's a lot of dark maroons and pinks. And then lots of ferns and grasses, which are very, very easy to manage. But also the food village is just a smorgasbord of food producers where you can taste and buy. And,
indeed,
you know, so many things for people to see.
Wonderful. All right. Well, listen, as you say, it's about lots and lots of things, but the gardening and the plantings are key to that. Carol Marks, Horticulture Sector Manager at Bordbia, and of course, Supergarden Judge, thank you for joining us on that. And actually, since we're
talking
about food, TV chef Aoife Pough from RTÉ's Asian Kitchen joins me now here in studio. Aoife, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
On a busy
for
weekend for you. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. Now, you're cooking again on Monday. So tell us what you will be making. You're on the main stage.
I am. And I'm going to be making in summer inspired dishes. So the first one is going to be a Korean style burger. So, you know, burgers, summertime, perfect timing for it. But I'm going to be giving it a Korean twist.
And what is the Korean
twist?
What is the Korean
twist? So the Korean twist is I'm going to be making a paste, like a Korean paste that you're going to add into your burger. So the Korean paste involves this ingredient called samjang. So samjang is a very famous Korean chili paste, right? But it's a mixture of gochujang, which is a Korean red pepper paste, and doenjang, which is a Korean soybean paste. And a mixture of that, and then it gives us this deep, rich umami flavor. And there's a bit of garlic in there. There's a bit of scallion in there. And it's just a really lovely paste. And traditionally, you would actually use it as a dipping sauce. You know, you would barbecue meats and then you dip it into the samjang and then you'd have it. So I'm going to be using it to make a gorgeous paste. And then we're adding it into the minced beef to make it a gorgeous burger. So
gorgeous. Sounds delicious. Yes. I do like a bit of heat in my burger, actually, because they can be quite bland just if they're just the minced beef with, you know, just a patty. So it's lovely to have that little bit of a fiery kick, though.
Exactly.
You have to warn guests. You do.
But the thing is, like, you can kind of temper it. If you add less of the paste, then, you know, you can still get that little Korean twist, but with less of the heat. And then we're going to make a kimchi ketchup as well.
Kimchi has taken off. Actually, all those fermented foods have proven to be so important for our digestion, haven't
exactly.
they?
Exactly. It's really good for your gut health. And it has a lot of people who haven't tasted kimchi. I really would love them to go and taste it because it's a really nice, refreshing. It has a little bit of tanginess. The texture of it is a little bit crunchy. And the thing is about kimchi, it's like it's the process of the fermenting of the vegetables. So kimchi, the most popular kimchi would be a kimchi cabbage. But then you can get like white radish ones, you can get like spinach ones. There's like literally in Korea, there's over 200 versions of a kimchi. So
you're going to be using that and you're going to be making other things as well that people can watch. Now, like, do you think Irish people are embracing Asian food a lot more these days to cook? I mean, it's one thing having a treat and going to an Asian restaurant and having somebody else do all the hard work.
Yeah.
It strikes me that a lot of people think, me included, that, oh, there's so many ingredients. There's so much stuff I have to get. Does that kind of, can that put people off?
I think so. I think when you know, one thing that I'm really passionate about is to demystify Asian ingredients. I guess coming from a background like my parents, founded the Asian Market, which is one of Ireland's largest
around
Asian,
the corner here.
Yeah, exactly, Asian supermarket. Yeah. So, you know, I remember when I first joined the business about 10 plus years ago, all the ingredients were really second nature to me. But actually, when I was in the supermarket, I would see customers and I was like, okay, this is new for them, you know? And I really do think only a handful of ingredients you can create many Asian dishes. So, like, you know, in the mainstream supermarkets, I see more Asian ingredients. Like, I see the soy sauce. I see the, you know,
miso paste.
Exactly.
And
kind
rice,
of
wine, vinegar.
In, right? So there is, like, I think there is an interest because, like, once you go out to eat, like, at lots of restaurants, there was the Chinese restaurants. There's now a lot of Japanese. There's a Korean restaurants, you know. Then you kind of, you're kind of introduced to those flavors, which means that when you go home, you're kind of like, You can't shake that bug away, can you? You know, because it's like you have that flavor and then you want to recreate it at home. So I do find people coming into the store looking for those ingredients, you know. And I really think that just, you know, 5 or 6 key pantry items, you know, away you go. You can create so many dishes.
Because in our own store cupboard, if you're making, you know, Irish-based food all the time, you're going to have your, you know, your Worcester sauce and your olive oil and your, you know, tomato paste and all that. So it's just a different set of store cupboard
exactly.
ingredients.
And it's so exciting because, you know, the flavour profile that it adds. Mm. And the thing is, like, you can, there's a lot of fusion dishes as well, you know. I think in season 2 of my show, I was really introducing people to oyster sauce, you know. And I made a dish with like oyster sauce and there was a Parmesan cheese and it was pasta. And, you know, you didn't...
That's a umami hit.
You wouldn't really think it works, but it's just the most delicious thing on the planet. It's just so yummy.
But isn't it the case that all cuisines around the world have their hot, they're sour, they're salty, they're sweet, because that's how we taste food. So whether it's Parmesan cheese or it's
where you
soy
get that
sauce,
umami flavour from, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the Asian market there and you were literally a baby. I don't know how your parents did it, actually. You arrived over here when you were a tiny infant and you literally grew up there.
Yeah.
So have you seen... you must have witnessed a massive shift in the buying habits
Absolutely.
Of people.
Absolutely.
And they are much braver maybe now to kind of maybe steam dumplings or try different spices.
Absolutely. I think, you know, people having travelled to Asia, they come back looking for those ingredients, and then going to restaurants and being adventurous, yeah. they're tasting like dumplings. And they're, you know, and when you come into the store, we have like frozen options for dumplings, so you can get ready-made ones, but then you can also buy the wrapper and make it yourself. Mm. So you kind of, you know, you can recreate at home, or you can have a quick meal and just, you know, I always have like a bag of dumplings in my freezer. And then you move into getting lots of different choices of dumplings. You know, you have the Chinese version, which is, you know, you usually boil it, and then you have the Japanese version, and they're all, and then the Korean version as well. So in the Korean one, you can get like bulgogi beef dumpling, you can get a kimchi dumpling, but then, you know, the gyoza, the Japanese form, yeah. you know, they're, that you have like a chicken and vegetable one. So I don't know, there's just like, I just think it's a really exciting world.
Open up your eyes, try something
Absolutely.
New.
Absolutely.
Now, because you're at Bloom now this weekend, there are lots and lots of chefs taking the main stage mm. before and after you. Yes. You're on Monday. And are you looking forward now to meeting them? I mean, you've Nevin McGuire, with
oh
Donal Skean, Rory O'Connell, Catherine Fulvio. I mean, so many
It's
cooks.
Really exciting. I know. And although I've been going to Bloom every year, and I go to Bloom every year, but I've actually, this is my first time on the stage. So I am definitely looking forward to meeting all these amazing chefs.
Brilliant. All right. Well, listen, you can find out more. Head to boardbeabloom.com. It's open daily, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and they have free shuttle buses coming from Parkgate Street up beside Houston Station if you want to visit Eva Pau, and before her, Karen Marks. Thank you for joining us
so
on
welcome.
The Home Show.
Thank you.
The Home Show on News Talk. The Home Show on News Talk.
Welcome back to The Home Show, 531-0640 if you want to get in touch. The Home Show at newstalk.com. I'm Sinead Ryan, and you'll find me over on Insta, and somebody else you will also find over on Insta joins me in studio now. We've had a lovely run of summer sunshine. It could be all gone now for the thing. But like everybody else, I hope it becomes a mainstay of 2026. Fingers crossed, but it does mean that we're kind of inspired to switch up our interiors, more colour, florals, brighter shades. Here with his own brand of sunshiny help is Paul Kinsella, life at number two on Instagram with all of his masterclasses and tips and gardening. You're into the old gardening.
Oh, sure, I do a little bit. Yeah, we just did our own garden makeover. So definitely on point what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, it is. Because when the sun comes out and when it's all bright and shiny, we do turn into, in our heads, Mediterranean. Californians.
Yeah.
We're like, here we go.
The top comes off. It's 12 degrees outside. Summer is here.
Kind of sangria any time of the year. So as a result, what I'm most envious about when I look at lifestyles of people who are permanently in the sunshine,
yes.
South of France, California, all that, is the outdoor kitchen. Like it's a whole room. They don't need to shutter it in the winter. They don't need to put covers on everything.
Yeah.
It's just like you can just leave it there as a whole other room. So we thought we would look at the cheap Irish kind.
And you got me on to do
to
it.
Outdoor kitchens. Only because we can't really afford the expense of leaving the cushions out at the winter and the blonde wood and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's the only reason. Right. Okay. So the garden as an extra room is not a new principle, but how we prepare it is really important.
Yeah. And I think what we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years is everyone's want for an extra room, and this garden has become the extra room. I think with the outdoor kitchens, it's really on trend at the minute. And yes, I'm envious of everybody in America with their beautiful all year long sunshine. We have to be practical, as you said. And we're seeing more and more DIY versions of it happening within Ireland, which is really exciting. I think for the first thing for us, I think it's about zoning your garden. Now, I don't have a very big garden. And sometimes what happens in our old Irish gardens is the barbecue is there and that's it. And I think it's about how you dress up the barbecue. And it can, you can do it in different ways depending on the size of your garden, because we all don't have big gardens. I think if we start with the barbecue as itself, what you could do if you have a smaller garden like me, you might just even insert one or two shelves above it to pop your herbs or even some outdoor candles, just to make it feel like a zone. See where I'm going here? I'm all about safe space.
Yeah.
And then we've seen other things. If barbecue isn't your kind of gig, people have started to build little table tops out of, say, cement blocks, and then put the pizza oven. Pizza ovens are a big trend. They haven't gone away. They're still here.
They haven't gone away. And they're brilliant for kids, you know, and make your own and whatever you're having yourself.
And it's a great activity, actually, and talking point when you're having a barbecue, if you're not really the barbecue-y type of people. You just want to be out and socialising. And like you said, building your own pizza, it's great. And what you could do with there is you might have an old potting bench that you have in your garden if you're a gardener like myself. Now I'm a gardener. Not indoors now because I kill every indoor plant, but the outdoor ones are good. But what we've seen now with the likes of the potting benches are people are using them for extensions of the barbecue in terms of they're colour blocking them with a brighter colour to bring in some colour into the garden, but then also making them like a little destination where you might have your ice buckets and your glasses and your bits and bobs.
So you're using it as a little table for
as a table.
And you can move that around then.
Exactly.
And actually the colour pop is what differentiates it.
Yeah.
It's not just the kind of the pine bench.
Yes.
It becomes then an adjunct to a spot in the garden.
And I think a great tip with the ColourPop is if you go to, say, the likes of your B&Qs and your Woodies, you're probably only going to get 10% of the colour range that are within brands for masonry and outdoor paint.
Yeah.
So a top tip would be to go to a smaller paint supplier directly, like MRCB is in town here that I go to quite a bit, and they'll have the full range that paint colours like brands like Alchemist, which I've used in my garden. Amazing colours. Like I've done a whole terracotta wall and it's really brought some warmth and life into my garden.
And I did the same actually, and I went to Johnson's paints and I just said to them, can you make up this colour, which was my interior paint, in an outdoor
paint?
And they had no problem. So it is available.
It absolutely is available. And that's actually a great tip that you've mentioned. If you have a room that's going onto your garden, to bring that colour into the garden will make it feel like an extension naturally.
Brilliant. Okay. So we have the pizza oven, we have the barbecue with the shelving and the bench.
Yes.
So now you've created a whole area now, which can be kind of permanent, really, for that.
What you can do as well is outdoor rugs. I love an outdoor rug, Sinead.
Okay.
I love an outdoor rug.
Yeah.
And what that does, again, it creates another zone. So you might have your barbecue and your potting table on one side, but where you have your furniture, you could pop down a rug and then it creates this like secondary zone.
Lovely. Are we losing the run of ourselves now if you get a fridge and a table lamp?
No, I've seen these fridges and actually table lamps. It's very funny that you've mentioned it because my husband hates the cold. So at the minute, the task that I have been set is he wants an outdoor heater, but I'm really trying hard to find an aesthetic outdoor heater.
They are pretty ugly, aren't they?
But I found a gorgeous one. Now the price tag is not so gorgeous, but it's a brand called Kettler, and it does like a full standing lamp essentially, but it's a heater.
Okay.
But it looks like an actual lamp you'd have in your interiors. So
right.
I might have to just purchase that.
And there are some I know that you can get the heaters if you have an awning.
Yes.
Or a sail
kind
of cover. You can have them fitted from the struts of that.
Exactly.
And that's something that you can hook up. Okay.
Yeah.
See, like, no matter what we do, we're always coming back to the weather, aren't
we? Of course
we are.
We're
always coming back to the what
and
if.
The cold.
The what if. Okay. So that's the outdoor stuff. And folks, if you've done an outdoor zone, and you have this kind of aspirational LA place, get in touch with us. Send us your photographs, thehomeshow@newstalk.com. I'd love to see it for sure. Now, moving indoors and indeed outdoors, Paul, because actually one of the colour combos you just can't get away from, and nor should we, because it's evergreen, is florals. Florals for spring.
Florals for spring, Miranda Priestley.
And stripes, because nothing screams it's summertime.
Than a stripe, in my opinion.
Stripe.
So florals, I'll take or leave, but stripes for me are the winner. And actually, I was doing a bit of research for this. There's three different types of stripes.
Who knew?
Who knew? Who knew that stripes had categories? So anyway, there's three different types, as I said. There's a cabana stripe, which is a really thick stripe. So you would see that on the likes of, it reminds me of Greece immediately because it will be the really thick blue and white, but you've seen it in yellow and white. and it might be on sun loungers or on parasols. Actually, in Aldi, they had a beautiful cabana stripe with a kind of earth brown, and it just looked really like I'm going to Sicily.
There's something quite lotus about
Lovely.
It. It's very elegant,
yes,
actually, in upmarket. A cabana stripe.
Yeah,
right.
And then what we have is a ticking stripe. And a ticking stripe was created from actually back in the olden days. They used to put on a cloth called the ticking stripe that would stop feathers from coming out of pillows and duvets. So it's a very fine, thick stripe. It's a very fine stripe. You probably will have seen this in the likes of bedding or placemats. It's literally very small and very thin, but makes a really love impact. It sometimes is associated with farmhouse, but we're starting to see it a little bit more in interiors, especially in shops like Zara Home or H&M Home.
Okay, so you could see a cushion in that. You
exactly.
mightn't do the whole chair.
You mightn't do the whole chair.
Okay, great.
And then the last one is the hotel stripe, which is something a little bit more classic and refined, and it might be just in a square box, but it's kind of in between the cabana and the tick stripe. So it's a little bit thicker, but not massive.
Think Bridgerton.
Yeah. Think when you go into a hotel room with fresh linen and you just see that square around the bottom.
Yeah. Okay, Frances Brennan,
there you go.
Right, so all the stripes, and of course you mentioned there the two key colours, which are navy and this butter yellow and white.
Butter yellow.
Actually, pink is also a lovely stripe colour.
You know I love pink. And actually what we're starting to see in some trends is pink and red being put together, which is really striking. And I think when we start to think about florals and stripes, you can mix them, but you want to try and have the essence. We've talked about before having the three rule in terms of have three colours in your room and keep them. So the flow should be that you would have a similar colour within them, and maybe you'll have one softer version of the other. There is another trend, which it just depends on how you go with it. It's quite maximalist, where it's floral on floral on floral on floral.
No, it works
for some people.
It works in Laura Ashley.
Yes.
And you can walk in and go, wow, I'd love this. And then in your own sitting room, you're like, colour clash, and you've got a headache.
Yes.
So I think the stripes are probably easier to mix and match.
Absolutely.
Whereas the florals may be just one thing.
Exactly. So I would do like maybe a floral rug. Leave it at that. Or maybe a floral curtain. If you're really out there, you could do a floral couch. But again, think about your couch, because I always talk about it, like 7 to 10 years is what you should get out of your couch.
Yeah.
So unless you're in love with this floral couch, I would stay away from it.
Okay.
And then, like you said, I would then pull cushions into the stripes where with colours from the florals.
So do you find then that the stripes are easier?
Yeah, much easier.
To kind of coordinate if you're not an expert.
Yes. Look, florals are going to have, they could have up to kind of 6 to 7 different colours in a print. So you just have to be very mindful if you're styling.
Yeah.
So like, again, we talked about the rule of threes, and then you go into the 70-20-10 rule, where 70 should be the predominant colour in the room, 20 is for like your sills and skirting, and then 10 is just little accents.
Okay. And the florals belong in the accents,
don't they?
And
the florals, for me, would belong in the accents, because you don't want them to be too overpowering.
But in the garden, we can have a little of a lighter attitude, because we don't have to match everything.
No.
You know, you can have that mismatched look is actually quite cool, isn't
it? Yes, it is. And you can see this especially on the likes of garden furniture. If you have a very muted set, which we all love mute in garden furniture in Ireland, we don't go very bold, but you could then mix and match, like you said, some floral cushions with stripe cushions just to give that impact.
Yeah, and just keep that colour base. If you're going to use yellow, you're going to use pink,
exactly.
Have that as your underlying theme.
And that's your three colours and that's it.
Fantastic. All right. So in terms of then where we get this stuff and not spending a fortune, because we're not going to have it all year round.
No.
We might only have it for a week or two in the summer. Tell me some ways then. So you've mentioned the bench, which can be repurposed as your table. Shelving, you can just stick up in your fence.
Yeah, exactly. And again, if you have, you can get natural, even what I love in the garden is offcuts. If you can get offcuts of wood, timber, sleepers or anything like that.
Put them up on bricks.
Yeah. And it just gives that rustic feel. And you can paint it with your wood paint that you've done with the potting. So I'm all about trying to reuse what you have.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll say, and it's a little disclaimer, if you have a coloured fence paint, don't use it on your decking. because there's anti-slip your decking paint. So I've just seen a lot of people paint the same colour fences, the same colour decking.
Safety
just
first.
Be mindful of that.
Safety
yeah.
First. All right. Well, Paul, I wish you a glorious summer.
Thank
sunshine.
You. In my new garden.
You will be back in with us before it's over. And we would love any more gardening ideas. And if there's a gardening topic that you'd like us to cover, or an interiors topic, well, we have our rotating designers in the design chair every single Saturday, and they are all fabulous and as fabulous as Paul. So do get in touch with us, because that's what they're here for, and they give us fantastic advice. Paul Kinsella, Life at Number 2 is the Instagram handle if you want to have a look. Now, that's all we have time for on this episode. I hope you enjoyed the varying chats that we had, particularly Brian Kennedy. Very, very enjoyable, and all of the stuff that's going on at Bloom. Now, if you'd like to suggest a guest for us to have on the podcast, or you'd like us to cover a topic, let us know. Email us at thehomeshow@newstalk.com, or find me on Instagram and on X. You'll find me over there, Sinead Ryan, and we'd be delighted to hear from you. My thanks to producer Aoife Breen. Stephen McLoone was on sound. We will be back here with another episode next week, so do stay tuned for The Home Show.
The Home Show with Sinead Ryan. Saturday at 5 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.